saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto your peace. But now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And the title of this message is The Time of Your Visitation. If you could bow your heads and pray that God will open my mouth. Father, Lord, we just thank you for your presence this afternoon. Lord, I pray you anoint the words, oh God, that they be your words, Lord, that they will find good soil, that they will bring forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come into your house. Lord, let these words, oh God, find the good soil. We thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, give him a big smile, and then you may be seated in Jesus' name. I'm not really much of a preacher. I'm more of a teacher. So I'm gonna do a little bit of both today. The Bible tells us that there is a season for every aspect of our lives. Solomon tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, to everything there is a season. There's times when you're happy, there's times when you're sad, there's times when you're over the moon, there's times when you're maybe not so happy. It tells about time to dance, times to not dance. But what it tells us is that there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. So there is a time of visitation. There is a time when Jesus is going to come by your place, where he's going to come so near to you that if you will just look up, if you will just hold on, if you will just open up, it will be the time of your visitation. I really believe that there is a time of visitation for everyone, for tribes, for nations, for kingdoms. There is a time when God tries to reach out to people and to let them know that he's real and that he exists. We see this so many times in the Bible. Abraham, he recognized the time of his visitation. In Genesis 18 verse 1 it says, And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes, and he saw what he thought were three men. But he recognized that one of them was not some ordinary man. And he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself towards the ground. He recognized the time of his visitation. He recognized that this person that came was not some ordinary person. There is a time of visitation that comes and an opportunity for each of us to have a relationship with God, to move beyond just what we read in the Bible, to have a real deep understanding and knowledge of the King of Kings. In Genesis 17:1, he had another visitation. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. This was another visitation by God that Abraham was able to pursue, that Abraham was able to recognize. It was one of the important ones because it was the visitation where God made a deeper covenant, where God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, from Sarai to Sarah. It was the time of visitation. It was the time of God reaffirming his covenant. You look at all of the Bible characters, there was a time of visitation. There was a time when God passed near, where they had an opportunity, where there was a choice to be made. You are going to have a choice to be made. There's going to be a time when you're going to have to step up and make a choice, whether you respond to the visitation or not. The same thing happened with Jacob. He was running away from his brother, who he had cheated out of his birthright. He knew he was going to kill. He ran away with nothing. The very thing he tried to cheat him out of, in the end, he ran away with nothing. And in fleeing from his brother, he had nothing with him. He ended up sleeping on a rock. And while he was sleeping, he had a visitation. Genesis 28, 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending. And behold, the Lord God stood above it. And he said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. And the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And behold, I am with thee. You know what? A visitation comes with a promise. A visitation comes with a blessing, if you get it. A visitation comes with some deep understanding and realization. Behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again to this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. What a great visitation to know that God spoke to him directly, gave him a promise. Now, he could have just said, well, that was just a dream. But he recognized the time of this visitation. The time of visitation is a time of opportunity. It's a time when we can either reach out to God and get blessed and have promise and deliverance, or it's a time when we can just walk on by. We have a choice if we're going to realize the time of our visitation. Moses was on Mount Sinai, and he was tending sheep, and he saw this bush burning. He could have ignored it and walked on, but you know what? It was the time of his visitation. He went over to the bush and he realized something really strange was going on here. This bush is burning, but yet it's not being consumed. And then he heard the voice and he realized that this was the time of his calling. This was the time of him having the relationship with God Almighty. His successor, Joshua, went up on Mount Nebo before they went over to Jericho. And he had a visitation. He ran into the commander of the Lord's army. And he realized it immediately, who this person was, once he started to talk with him. And he bowed down and worshiped. You understand, when you come into the presence of God, you're going to bow down and worship if you recognize your visitation. It doesn't stop in the Old Testament. One day Jesus came to visit this city, and this little short guy like me, he knew it was his day of visitation. He climbed up in a tree. Jesus came by and said, this day, I must come to your house. It was the day of his visitation. What I'm trying to tell you, church, there is a day of visitation for people, for churches, for nations, for kingdoms, and you better not miss your day of visitation. There was a day of visitation for the woman caught in adultery. She was very fortunate who they brought her to. If it had been a rabbi or some priest, she would have been stoned to death. But it was the time of her visitation. It was the time of God's grace, God's mercy. Woman, John 8, 7. Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. It was the time of her visitation. If she had been taken to a priest or someone else, she'd have been stoned to death. But it was the time of her visitation. People, you need to recognize the time of your visitation. You need to recognize when Jesus is passing by. You need to recognize when he's speaking to you. Don't ignore it. Don't pass it by. Don't think it's just some imagination. Because it's critical that you recognize the time of your visitation. Peter recognized the time of God's visitation in the miracle in Luke chapter 5 and verse 5. Jesus came into the boat and said, listen, cast down the net one more time. He said, Lord, but we've been toiling all night. We've been here all night. We've been working all night and we caught nothing. Nevertheless, see, he recognized the time of his visitation. You may have been going through some stuff. You may not know what to do. You may have come to church and someone say a word. You know what you should say? Nevertheless. Nevertheless, at thy word. Because it could be the time of your visitation. Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, At thy word I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. When Simon Peter saw it, he realized this was no ordinary visitation. He fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." He recognized who he was in the presence of who Jesus was, divinity. See, when we have the opportunity to have a visitation, we better run towards it, not run away from it. We better not ignore it. We better not shut it out, because otherwise it will be like the experience Jesus saw. He had come down the last time to Jerusalem. It was a time just like now, where in a few weeks we're going to celebrate Passover. It was the last time he was coming to Jerusalem, and he stopped on the donkey and he looked at the city and he started to weep, because they did not realize it was the time of their visitation. Just in a few days they were going to crucify him, mistreat him, spit on him, rip out his beard, put thorns in his head, beat him with a whip till he almost was dead. But he wasn't crying about himself. He was crying because they missed their visitation. They did not recognize who was there and who could deliver them. And he was looking 40 years in the future, when 1.1 million Jews were going to be killed by the Romans, who were going to be crucified. They tore down whole forests. They lined the streets with crucifixion, with people on crucifixes. Jesus was the first one, but a little bit later, 40 years later, when the Romans came to destroy the temple, Jesus could see that. He could see down history how they would be persecuted. All because they missed the time of their visitation. You see, that phrase speaks of an encounter with God, an opportunity, a time to be delivered. But most of us, sometimes we blow right through our time of visitation. See, my personal time of visitation was 2004, about 20 years ago this year. 20 years ago, July, the Lord spoke to me for 3 days straight. And it changed me. For 3 days straight, the Lord spoke to me, and it changed me. I'm so glad that I did not miss that visitation. See, there's something about God's timing in his visitation. It's always very precise. And when it comes to nations and kingdoms, it is related to the celestial signs. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, and God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day and from the night." I want you to remember that. To divide the day from the night. "And let them be for signs." Right? What divides the day and the night? It's the sun and the moon. You may think it was for heat, but God put it there for signs. Did you know that? "And for seasons and for days and for years." There's always something unique about God's timing and of his visitation. As he was coming down, that was going to be 3.5 years from the time he started his ministry. He came and he looked over Jerusalem and he started to weep because they did not recognize who he was. After all the miracles he'd done, all the people he had saved, all the people he delivered, he knew that in 3.5 days they were going to put him on a cross. And again, he wasn't weeping for himself. He was weeping for their rejection. Let not Jesus be weeping for your rejection, of you missing your visitation. He knew that the feast of Passover was coming. On the 31st of this month, we celebrate Easter, which is supposed to be the feast of Passover. But of course, this year, it's not. I'll get to that. As he came to the outskirts of the city with its magnificent temple, which was covered with marble, that the tradition says it reflected, it shone. It was one of the most magnificent sights in the ancient East at that time. And he looked from the Mount of Olives, and all he could do was weep, because he knew that they had missed the time of their visitation. The king that they had waited for thousands of years had come. And what were they going to do? They were going to crucify him. They were going to crucify him. In Scripture, the timing of God's visitation, of him showing up, is precise. He never let himself be recognized as king, except to one Gentile lady. He let himself be known as the Messiah. He met her by a well some years before and started to tell her her story. You know what was happening? It was her visitation. She said, "I have no husband." He says, "You speak truly, because you don't have one husband, you have five. And the one you're with is not your husband." It was her day of visitation. Guess what? She recognized her day of visitation. She said, I perceive you are a prophet. And he started to tell her something. He said, "Do you know who is standing before you? I'm telling you, church, you know who's standing before you? Not me. But right here and now, you have an opportunity for a visitation." You see, we can know the date of his death very precisely. We can't know the date of his birth. But that visitation, we can know pretty exactly. He came to Jerusalem on the 10th day of the month Nisan. In the Old Testament, they were to take the lamb on the 10th day and they were to bring it in and to live with it like a pet for 3 days. Then on the night of the Passover, they were to take that lamb and then they were to kill it and eat it. That must have been a little bit hard. Jesus came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday on the 10th day of Nisan, knowing that in 3.5 days, on the 14th, they were going to kill him. This appointment had been declared and made hundreds of years before, so precisely. 483 years before, it had been prophesied that this exact visitation would happen, and yet they weren't ready. Yet they did not recognize the time of their visitation. God had promised them there would come a time of his visitation. There was coming a time of release. There's coming a time of return. But yet they missed it. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 25 is one of the most astonishing prophecies in the whole Bible, in which the very date is put down hundreds of years before it happened. Daniel was praying. The Jews had been captive for 70 years, but he knew the promise that there was going to be a visitation, that they were supposed to be sent back to Jerusalem. And he was praying and asking God, "When will this be?" And the angel came with the answer and said in Daniel 9:25, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince," it makes it plain, unto the time when the Messiah is going to come, "shall be seven," it says weeks, but it really means seven. Seven sets of seven, that's 49 years. And then 60 sets of seven and 2 times 7. So a total of 483 years. The Bible lays it out, the time of their visitation. The street shall be built again, the wall, even in troublous times. When this prophecy was given, Jerusalem was a ruin. There were no walls, but God told the prophet Daniel, "The walls will be rebuilt. And in 483 years, I'm going to come and give a visitation." And then it says when he would be killed. "After 62 sevens shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself." Jesus was not weeping for himself. "And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city." That's why he was weeping. He could see in 40 years' time what the Romans would do, and that his people would miss the time of their visitation. So when you add it up, 483 years from the time the decree was given, and that is recorded in history, 14th of March, 446 BC, the Persian king, forced by the Holy Spirit, released the Jews and told them, "You can go back and rebuild your temple." Then the countdown began, the clock began. The 483 years counted down until on the 10th day of Nisan, Jesus walked into Jerusalem. Just before, 3.5 days before Passover. And how do we know it so precisely? Well, because of the fact of the celestial signs. But before I go there, I want to tell you a little story. The arch enemy of Israel most of the time, from the time of David all the way down to the Persians, was the Assyrians. And they were always raiding into northern Israel and killing and pillaging. And they were terrible people. I've said many times, they were the ISIS of their day. Their method of killing was to skin people alive, then put them on poles. That's what they would do. So a few hundred years after David's kingdom came the Assyrians with a huge army. And they ravaged the land and they came up to Jerusalem in the time of King Hezekiah. Because that was the time of his visitation. You see, we have an appointment with God. We all have an appointment with God. The Bible says in Hebrews 9, it's appointed unto men once to die, then the judgment. There's an appointment you will not be able to skip out on. You will not be able to dodge. If you miss the time of your appointed visitation, there's another time that you will not be able to cancel. You won't be able to call up and say, excuse me, I want to revise the date. No. Hebrews 9 says there, it's appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. So King Sennacherib sent his Assyrian hordes into Israel, and he devastated every city, and he came up to Jerusalem, and he started taunting them and said, listen, your God hasn't saved you. Look what I've done to all these cities. I'm going to come and destroy Jerusalem. But Hezekiah knew the time of his visitation. He took the letter, the threats, and he went before God and prayed. And God said to Hezekiah, listen, just step away here. This is my battle. See, if you understand the time of your visitation, you don't even have to fight. God said to Hezekiah, listen, it's not you who he's insulted, it's me. God sent one angel that night, and 180,000 of the Assyrian army was dead. He just left enough to take back the story. That's all that went back to Assyria. Now, that's recorded historically. You can go look it up. It's, you know, Peter says we have not believed myths and fables, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. So a few years later, the Assyrians are still doing stuff and raiding northern Israel, and then God comes to this prophet named Jonah and says, I want you to go and preach to ISIS. I want you to go to Syria, same place actually, and I want you to go preach repentance to ISIS. Now, come on now, which of us is going to say, sign me up? I'm ready to go, God. No. Jonah does what all of us would do. He takes a ship and runs away. God, are you crazy? This is ISIS. Don't you know what they've done to our people over the years? For hundreds of years, all they've done is come and raided and killed and enslaved and flayed people alive. You want me to go and preach to them? And he took a boat. You know the story? But it was the time of his visitation. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Sometimes God gives us a do-over, you know. Sometimes God is merciful and we get to do the visitation again. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. This time Jonah obeyed. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. There is a parallel there, if you notice. Jesus said, didn't say it, but we know it, 40 years, and Jerusalem will be overthrown. So in the year 763 BC, and I'll tell you how we know it, there was a solar eclipse over Nineveh. At the time, the same time when Jonah went to preach, to proclaim repent or judgment. But there was a miracle. Nineveh realized it was the time of their visitation. And the whole city, from the king to the animals, repented. These wicked, wicked people who didn't care about torturing someone or doing wicked things or cutting people up. The Bible said from the king downwards repented. in sackcloth and ashes. And God was merciful. Why? Because it was the time of their visitation. They recognized that if they didn't do something, the prophecy would be fulfilled. So in the year 763, in the 15th, I believe, of August, there was a solar eclipse. Now that's recorded in history. That's how they know when these things happened. So Nineveh repented, and destruction and judgment was delayed 150 years. It was 150 years, so that generation escaped judgment. The 120,000 children that were in that city escaped judgment. God told Jonah, don't you know? You want me to destroy this city? Don't you know? There's 120,000 little babies in here. But because of repentance, because they knew the time of their visitation, judgment was spared. And it never came to pass. Amen. Yeah, we can give clap. We can give God a clap for his mercy and his grace. The two things are related. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 39, Jesus talked about this event. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. See, there had been a sign when Jonah went to Nineveh. There was an eclipse right on that date. But he said, listen, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now, we know what that means, right? Because the next verse tells us that. Verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. But the problem is, we know it, but when he was talking to them, they didn't know what the sign of Jonah was. That. The only sign that they remembered that happened when Jonah went to preach was the eclipse. So when he declared to them, the only sign that's going to be given you is the sign of Jonah, they thought it was the eclipse because he had not died yet. He hadn't been in the grave yet. Now we know that it had a double meaning. But when he told them, the only thing they could have thought about, well, there was this great eclipse over the whole Middle East in 763 BC when Jonah went to preach in Nineveh. Now, in 2 days' time, March 19th, there's going to be an event called the Spring Equinox. Remember what I said in Genesis, that God said he had created the sun and the moon to do? To divide the day from the night. Well, in 2 days' time, there's going to be an event that only happens twice a year. It's the day when the night and the day are equal. All fulfilling, in other words, why God created the sun and moon. He said it's for to divide the night from the day, and for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. So it was that event, the spring equinox, is how the Jews date all their months. So the first new moon after March 19th for them will be the first day of Nisan, the first day of the religious month. Now this year is something really different happening here, because if you calculate it, you'll find that the Jewish New Year, first of Nisan, is April 8th. But we are all celebrating Easter on March 31st. There's a month off there. The real Passover and Easter is actually a month past when the rest of the world is celebrating it. But there is something else happening on April 8th. You all know what that is, don't you? An eclipse. Isn't that interesting? So April 8th, there's going to be an eclipse. Now this eclipse is going to start at Eagle Pass, Texas, at about 2:38 Central Daylight Time on April 8th. And the darkness is moving at about 2,000 miles an hour. It'll cross the whole of America in about 2.5 hours. And it'll end about 4:30 Central Daylight Time. And guess what's going to happen at sunset that very day? the Jewish religious new year, first of Nisan. Now that could be just coincidence, but remember what Jesus said, the sign of Jonah. There will be no sign. Amos chapter 8, verse 9. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in a clear day. Do you know the time of your visitation? Do you know the time of your visitation? Luke 19:41. And when he came near, he beheld the city and wept, saying, if they had known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. See, we're, most of us, we're not at peace, are we? Got all kinds of things going on in our lives. Why? Because we don't have the King of Peace. We've missed the visitation. But it's not too late. This could be the day of his visitation. Saying, if thou hadst even known, at least in this thy day, the things which belong. See, Satan has stolen your peace, stolen all the things that should belong to you. The Jews missed out on their Messiah because they missed the day of their visitation. Now they are hid from thine eyes. So the true Passover, if you were to look it up and look for the Jewish feast days, you'll find is about April 22nd, not March 31st. The true Pentecost is somewhere in June, not the one we're going to celebrate. See, there's some stuff going on there that you need to be aware of this year. Because I believe this is the year of America's visitation. I looked it up. I heard it, but I didn't know if it was true. And the eclipse, there are seven cities in America named Nineveh. And the eclipse passes over six of them. So if that isn't something, I don't know what is. Do you know the time of your visitation? Somebody said it's all seven. I haven't verified that, but I wouldn't be surprised. You know what Jonah's message was? Yet 40 days, Nineveh is going to be overthrown. It could be the time of America's visitation. God visits nations, tribes, but he also visits people. Are we going to miss the time of our visitation? I want you to take it seriously that the coming of the Lord is very soon. I'm not setting any dates, but you know, even by my little rough calculations, that seventh week can't be far from starting. And we said in Sunday school, what's all going to happen during that seventh week? And it's not going to be fun. Now, there will be another eclipse on August 2nd, 2027. But this one is going to be right over Jerusalem. Time of your visitation. If you could stand with me. Bible says to look up when you see the day approaching. It's time to take seriously all these prophecies that have been there for hundreds of years. It took 483 years from the first one to when he showed up. And only a few people recognized. Mary knew who he was. Simeon knew who he was. The prophetess knew he was. The shepherds knew who he was. The wise men knew who he was. But the thousands and thousands of others did not. His disciples knew who he was. He said to Peter, who do men say I am? He says, well, some say you're just a prophet. Some say you're this, you're that. But he wanted to pin Peter down if he knew the time of his visitation. He says, but who do you say I am? Who do you say Jesus is to you? Do you know him? Can you say he is my king, he is my Lord, he is my Savior, he's my shepherd, he's my deliverer? Do you know who he is? because this is the time of his visitation. This is the time of, I can imagine right now Jesus is looking down and he's weeping because there's so many people, despite all the signs, despite all the prophecies, are missing their peace, are missing the fact that Satan has stolen their peace. He says, the things which belong unto thy peace, but are now, they are hid from thine eyes. The Jews completely missed it. That right there, the Messiah they'd been waiting for thousands of years, that had been prophesied from Moses, all the way back from Genesis, was right there. And all they had to do was to keep saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's all they had to keep doing. Jesus said if they were to shut up, the stones would start to cry out. I don't want a stone to cry out for me. I'm going to say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The Bible says he's coming back for those that love his appearing. Is it the time of your visitation? I'm closing this service. There's much more that I could say. Maybe I'll teach it in a Bible study. There's a lot more that I could tell you. But just suffice to say, Jesus already said the only sign that was going to be given was the sign of Jonah. Well, if the eclipse is the sign of Jonah, then you can fill in the rest of it. Because there's not too many more eclipses. There's one 8th of April. There was one 7 years ago in August. And they crisscross America. They say, and I didn't look this up, but that the first one crosses 7 towns named Salem, which means peace. They say that this one crosses 7 towns named Nineveh. You can look it up and see how many towns in America named Nineveh. I did look that up and there are 7, so. But that can't be coincidence, can it? That can't be coincidence when Jesus said the only sign that they will be given is the sign of Jonah. It's the time of our visitation. I'm done. If you want to come and pray, come and pray. If you want to have a visitation today, you can have it. You don't have to leave here and not touch the hem of his garment. The lady with the issue of the blood, she knew she would never get another chance despite the crowd. 12 years going to doctors trying to get healed, trying to be delivered. She said, I must touch the hem of his garment because it was her time of visitation. What are we going to say? Oh, this is just another service, just another Sunday. I'll see you next Sunday. Or will this be the time of visitation? Will this be the time when God delivers you? I really don't like being pastor, you know. Because a lot of times I have to say things people don't like. But this could be the time of your visitation. Don't let Jesus weep over you because you didn't realize it. You didn't know it. You didn't understand it. We're going to close this service. Meditate upon this. You now know some things a lot of people don't know. You know that March 31st really isn't Passover. Not by the way God calculates it. Because it's a month off this year. Kind of strange, but I think it's significant. We're going to close this service. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask everyone to pray. Even if you didn't come down here, you open your heart and say, Lord, if this is my day, Lord, speak to me, reach to me. Bring me the peace that I need in my life. Bring me the deliverance that I need in my life. Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we come to you tonight. This afternoon, Lord God. Lord, we hold nothing back. Lord, let this be the time of our visitation. Lord, whatever you have for us, Lord, I pray, let it be revealed into our lives. Let it be spoken into our lives. Lord, whether it's healing, whether it's relationship, whatever it is, Lord God, whether it's finances, Lord, we need you in our lives right now. We cannot make it without you. Let this be the day of our visitation. Lord, I pray you speak to us today, oh God. Move in our hearts, Lord God. Help us to hold nothing back. Help us to declare our love for you without reservation. Lord, help us to let not anything get in the way of your visitation, Lord. We welcome you, Lord God. Please, Lord God, stop by our house today, Lord God. Let us be the Zacchaeus, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Let us be the woman caught in adultery, Lord God. Let us be Moses on the burning bush, Lord God. Hallelujah. Let us be Joshua on the mountain, Lord God. Let us be Abraham, Lord God. Help us to recognize the day of our visitation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, if you could just pray with me, if you could just open your mouth and speak to God directly, tell him some things, confess some things, desire some things. Let him be your Savior today. Let him come and be the visitor to your house today.